Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports to the Max is on the air on this, a Tuesday night. I missed last night's live outdoors, although I do have people that share things with me that Ron Shera says about me. And I don't know why you people find that stuff humorous. I think you should be ashamed laughing when he says these things, because it just encourages him. And he doesn't need that in his life right now, okay? Older guy like that, I mean, he gets on a roll, who knows? So I just want you to know it's bad enough what Ron says about me, but then when I hear that you people are laughing at me, I go to the health club and they, oh, Ron said about you, oh, and then they share it with somebody next to us, and I'm sitting around, 80-year-old men that are naked laughing. That's not a good sight, folks. That's not fun. That's not a fun place to be. And you people put me there by encouraging Ron to do it. That's what I'm saying. I seldomly scold my audience, ever. I'm so thankful for my audience. That small group, we had a fan club meeting for me last week. It was so cool. We hold it, probably bi-monthly. And we do it, what we did was we refurbished a phone booth. And that's where we have it. And it was fun. God, we had some laughs and some yucks. Fun stuff, man. And, talked about the good old days being in a phone booth like that. And when it was all said and done, I said goodbye to Fred and Steve, and then that was it. So I appreciate you people that are out there listening. And Ron might say one thing, blah, 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 but I appreciate you people that defend me from time to time, too. And that's why we're going to keep having those meetings. Yes, we are. You bet we are. We might need to get a little smaller space because it was a little bit too big, but we'll figure that out as we go. Okay, so today they decided, the NCAA did, that you will be able to pay for the likeness. So if you're using college players' images in some way, shape, or form, they're going to get paid. And I have absolutely no idea how this is going to turn out. Jeff Schemmel is going to join us tonight. He'll be great on this. He was here at the University of Minnesota. He was the AD at San Diego State. He was the commissioner of the Big West. He's done all kinds of things. Now he runs jobs for coaches, high-profile coaches. He places them. Headhunter of some sort, but specific for college coaches. So he'll be a great guest to talk about this topic tonight. And I've got all kinds of questions for him. But I look at Minnesota, University of Minnesota, being right smack. I don't know how this is going to tilt, if it's going to be in their favor or not. And the reason that I say that is it looks like nobody knows how this thing's going to, when it's finally unveiled, how's the money going to flow, all those things. I have no idea. I mean, we've known for years that if you go to a place that sells jerseys, things like that, Gold Country, any of those places at the games, in the Gopher football jerseys out there, it is coincidentally the numbers they sell are the numbers of some of the top players. It's the quarterback or the star running back or as close as they can get. And they've had a tough time with this, to people being able to recognize the number and who's that, who wears that, it is. But that player, obviously, it is almost invisible in the veil, is unable to profit from that. So I have no idea now if they're going to say, okay, because the quarterback's jersey sells more than everybody else's, he gets a bigger piece of the pie. He gets a piece of every jersey that sold his number on it. I don't know. And then you get into this whole likeness thing, and this is why the Gophers are right smack in the middle of this thing. It's in some way, shape, or form, how much money you make is going to be based on how many eyeballs saw you play. And to factor that in is not going to be just people that go to the games. They're not going to just say, well, your attendance was this, so therefore that. It's largely based on television ratings. How many people saw you on TV, not just in the game, but on the highlights, How many people say on the Big Ten Network? How many people say on ESPN? It's called cost per impression, CPI. How many impressions do you make? And then how many times are you mentioned in a newspaper, in a national magazine, on the radio? How many times? And therefore, then how much money do you deserve? What would a sponsor then be willing to invest in you to an extent? This is what it's based on. And I don't know if you give that money to an entire team and say split it up how you see fit, or if it breaks down into the individuals. The Gophers are a great example. You could make a case, but most people probably didn't think they'd be 8-0 right now in football. They are. If they win again, and they're going to have a big audience, at least locally, for the Penn State game. If they win again, boom. If they get to the Big Ten West and they're playing for the Big Ten West championship against Wisconsin, boom. If they make it to the Big Ten championship game against probably Ohio State, you got a bigger audience. Now, who provides the arithmetic on this so that they're paying players, et cetera? I don't know if coaches get in on this too. And then if you have video games and you take, say, the top, you make a video game and you say, well, we're going to do the top 10 teams in college football or something like that. And you're in the top 10 and the videos are being used and they're using your name and your jersey number. I don't know how you split that up money-wise. And professionally, it's actually easier because professionally, they offer you a contract. They decide what you're worth, the value to the team, the team does. And if you don't like it, you can go play somewhere else. But it's all above board, above the table, all those things. But there is very little room to maneuver there. You get your contract, and then outside of that, you can go out and seek endorsements as long as they're approved by whatever league that you're in. That's it. You can't go do a whiskey commercial. You can't do some of those. You can't do anything for tobacco, all that stuff, while you're playing. But actually, the professional model is an easy one. Here's the salary cap. Here's how much money we're offering you. If you sign the contract, boom. I don't know how they're going to do that in sports. But here's why it gets back to being complicated with Minnesota. Minnesota is one of those teams that's in a power conference, but they're right dead in the middle. Overall, they, you know, in the two big sports, basketball and football, the ones that drive all the revenue, they have not, you know, they've been at the back half of it. So what's their value? But here's the other part of that. And this is where it gets interesting for Minnesota. In the Big Ten, this is not seen as a college town. They don't draw as well as the other college cities, except for maybe Northwestern, Indiana, perhaps in football, et cetera, et cetera. But you're sitting on a gold mine here because you got all these Fortune 500 companies. So would, say, a PJ Fleck be able to go to some of these Fortune 500 companies and say, sponsor our team? Will he have that leeway and that latitude? Hey, let's take advantage of this 3M. Let's take advantage of this General Mills. Let's all get behind this. Let's make sure that we don't get outbid by anybody. I don't know. I don't know how that goes. I don't know how that comes together. So Minnesota could be sitting on something really good. On top of that, all the coaches will endorse this. And the reason they'll endorse it isn't because they necessarily believe in it. In fact, it's going to make their jobs more difficult on two fronts. Number one, they're going to have to figure out what their real offer is to these kids. You know, how much money can you make if you come here too? And I don't know if they're going to have a real good idea of what that is coming in, or if it's like, well, you start here at the base, and because we're guaranteed this much, and then if you play well, you're going to get this. I don't know how that's going to go. So that's going to be difficult for them. Number two is the coaches have always been at the top of the food chain in terms of getting paid, and now these head coaches are going to maybe have to take a cut, depending on how this flows. Because if the same people that have been given money to the NCAA and the Big Ten Conference and all those things, if all that is now getting spread out, the pot's getting spread thinner, they may not make what they used to make or their staff. But yet they have to get out in front of this and say, hey, we're all in favor of this. Kids should get paid. Because if you don't, you're never going to be able to recruit a player again, right? If you don't say, oh, yeah, I believe in this, what player is going to want to come? Oh, you want to hold back on the amount of money that I make? This is going to be interesting how they put this together. And, of course, I'm led to believe that this was a bit of a preemptive strike. They saw what happened in California. They knew they couldn't win a lot of cases in court. So they said, if we get out in front of this and say we will allow it, now maybe the NCAA says, well, maybe we can control it. Maybe we can control this. Maybe because we came out and got out in front, maybe we can control it. Speaking of PJ Fleck, then this is good marketing. this is good marketing, and it comes not from the marketing team at the University of Minnesota, but the coaches. Bob Motzko, the head hockey coach, came up with this really good idea. He got a hold of P.J. Fleck, and it's a bye week for the Gophers, right? So they're not practicing. They're still very busy, but they don't have to grind it out like they normally do. And he says, I want you to put on the goalie equipment and come out on the ice today. So Fleck came over. The team didn't know it. He put on the goalie equipment, and he all of a sudden he comes out on the ice. But they don't know it's him because he's got the mask on and everything else. The players don't. The only thing they know for sure is this guy can't skate. That's the one thing they could tell for sure as soon as he got on the ice. And then somebody says, that couldn't be. Is that Fleck? You know, and it was. And they allowed him to get in between the pipes. It sounds like he'd done this at Western Michigan before. And the players had fun with it, and he had fun with it, and they had a team picture afterwards. And I thought, what a brilliant piece of organic marketing initiated by Bob Motzko. He got attention for his program, the hockey program. PJ's got an off week where everybody's kind of sitting around waiting, going, well, we want to talk about Penn State, but it's a long ways away. So how are we going to do this? And basically they found a way that he can talk about whatever he wants to talk about, but it keeps that football program front of mind, which is all you want to do in marketing. You want to keep everything front of mind. And then the players get to have a few yucks with it as well. And the players can have some fun, and they can shake hands with him, they can shoot pucks at him. It was really good stuff today. And we'll have the video on tonight at 10, in fact, on CCO TV, and we'll hear from PJ on it. But he embraced it. He was part of it. He got it, and it was just fun stuff. And I thought, now that is what the university needs more of. They need more situations where they find a way to market themselves and take advantage when they have something that's hot. You know, last year the basketball team was hot. They went to the NCAA tournament. Now, how do you turn that into whatever it is? The university has stumbled many times at that front where they get to that and they don't quite know what to do with it. They don't know quite how to market it. And they do have some restrictions that the professional teams don't have, and that, you know, they can't discuss who they're recruiting and some of that stuff. Some of that stuff that would lend itself to good marketing campaigns, they can't do anything with it. They can't take it and run with it. But today they did. They hit a home run. They figured that out. And I'm not surprised that Bob Motzko was in the middle of that, because Bob kind of gets this stuff. He understands. He understands the moment. He understands how you can get something out of it, how you can extract something from that. And kudos to him for figuring out a way. But, yeah, it was a home run. It was, you know, that's one of those things where we'll have the video on the news. Every news team will. There'll be 500,000 people that watch the news tonight at 10 and see P.J. Fleck playing goalie. And they get all that publicity for free. That's a home run. But it was interesting that it was Bob Motzko that came up with the idea, and a really good idea. They play this weekend as well. When we come back, another former U of Emmer throwing his hat in the ring. We'll explain. The Wixon Jewelers time is 6:48. The non-commissioned team of experts at Wixon Jewelers in Bloomington will ensure that your visit is nothing short of unforgettable.
Sports to the max.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Freshman Representative Katie Hill, we talked about this last week. She resigned amid allegations of an affair with a staffer. It's kind of a long and complicated situation. Red State was the one that broke it, that said she had an inappropriate relationship with, I don't even know if it's inappropriate. I don't know what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, but that she had had a relationship with a female staffer back in California. She admits to being bisexual. And now is going through divorce and was accused of also having an affair with a male staffer in last week. She admitted that she had had a consensual but inappropriate relationship with someone on her campaign. But she denied that she had an affair with a congressional staff member. So I don't know where the lines are drawn there, how you go about it. But she has resigned, and it has. Here's what gets me about when somebody, there was a photo of her and a female staffer from California that was deemed inappropriate. We still haven't, I've said it all along, I'm not going to pass judgment on it until I see the photo, and I haven't seen the photo yet. So if anybody wants to email, then I can look at it and see, you know, okay, that's appropriate, that's inappropriate. But I can't do anything until I've actually seen it. I wouldn't be, for me, I mean, this is something that's journalistic responsibility. I can't comment on it until I see it. And so if people want to email it to us here, we'll be happy to take a look at it. And if you've got more than one photo, that's fine too. But what gets me is when somebody like this gets put in this, pardon the pun, position, they immediately say, well, those photos were released and that's illegal. That's my private life. That's illegal. Yeah. Well, but they never talk about what it is people are talking about. Why were you with this young female staffer, and did you have power of influence over, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's illegal for somebody to release it. Well, that's not what anybody's talking about. They want to know, was this appropriate or not? You're in the Congress. Was this appropriate or not? Not whether it was illegal that they got released, all that stuff. Was it appropriate or not? And they, I don't know if they ever correct themselves if they just go, well, this was illegal for somebody to get their hands on this or for my ex-husband to do this to me. That's not the point. The point is this who you are? Is this how you make your decisions? And what went into all this? But they always go, well, the semantics of this suggests that this should never have been brought up. Well, it was. So was it appropriate or not? Anyway, that thing will play itself out. But there's a lot of articles being written about millennials, and she's the first millennial, and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And, I don't think it's anything to do with millennial or not. These things have been going on for many, many years, and every once in a while they surface. And if you go back to who was it that ran for president, Susan, and he said to the media, if you think I'm having affairs, follow me around. And they did, and they found out he was having an affair.
I don't know. It wasn't the one who had monkey business.
It was back in the 70s, 80s. I mean, this goes way back, this idea that this stuff is new. Anyway, and obviously Bill Clinton, they went after him. He was running for, I think he was Republican running for president. It was in the infancy stages of. And he said, have at, and you got to find something on me. And they did. Oops. he challenged the media, like, yeah, I'll prove to you. But I forget his name. Anyway, I bet it was Gary Hart. Gary Hart from Colorado. That's who it was. Good looking guy. Yeah. And he said, hey, you want a piece of me? You come find me. I'm not doing any of this. Yet. And they followed him around and they found out, yep, he's having an affair. Maybe shouldn't have challenged the media. But that whole politics game has always been, politics is a tough business. Politics is the toughest of all because they will expose anything they can on you. And it's a difficult place to live. And so in some respect, I have great admiration for the people that will put themselves through that and put themselves out there and be vulnerable. And on the other hand, you go, why would you do that if you knew you did that? That's why I can make a case tonight. And I say this, it was refreshing to see this. When you're looking for an all-American image and somebody run for office that in so many different ways, he will uphold what it is that we all want to see in a politician. I was thrilled when I drove through Edina the other day. I can't live there, but they let me drive through once a month. As long as I promise to leave within a half hour. I know, we've been through this before, officers. But there's a lawn sign. Lou Nanny is running for school board in Edina. And how cool is that? Here's a guy that's, probably approaching 80, and yet he still wants to do something for that school district. And he throws his hat in the ring. I don't know how many people are running for it. We'd have to track it down. Like in Eden Prairie, I know there's 11 people running for 4 seats. I don't know how many people are running in Edina. But how about somebody that's, he's put all his kids through that school system, first of all. So he knows how it works. He also knows, he's been a general manager and a financial guy, and he knows all these things. So he knows how a business should work. And maybe he can apply some of that to public school systems. Now, he is running on a unique platform. He changed halfway through. Initially, he wanted free erasers for all 7th grade English students, and he thought that would get him over the hump. And then he found out, well, they don't write their term papers anymore. And he said, oh, yeah, that's right. They use typewriters now. And they said, just skip that one, though. So then he went with, and I think this could be effective because so many parents wonder, he believes that at least K through 8, at 1:30 in the afternoon, they should all be allowed 16 minutes for graham crackers and grape juice. And that has gone away. And he is firm on this. He is running hard on it. It sounds like he's got a lot of support from the community on it. Bring back the graham crackers and grape juice. The GG campaign, they call it. But Lou Nanny has a chance to really do some things there. And it's just refreshing to see somebody that's still got the energy at that age. And he's saying, I'm all in. So they're going to start paying in some way, shape, or form college athletes. I don't know what that's going to look like, but our next guest will. Jeff Schemmel is an expert. He's a headhunter now and much more, and a former AD. Stay with us.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.